Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
The instruction of them is, let not your heart be troubled. Notably, this text is one that we use today at the lowest point in people's lives, the death of a loved one. This is a favorite text we preachers like to use. It's the lowest point of life as they put their loved ones in the ground. We say, let not your heart be troubled. It is an appeal by Jesus to believe in him as much as we propose to believe in God, or as the world says, a higher power. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. When I talk to people concerning the brevity of life, impending death, eternity, the hereafter, almost without exception, they talk about their faith in God. Preacher, I believe there's a higher power. I believe there is a God. I've made my peace with God. Like somehow God is their enemy, and finally they've pacified him. The text indicates that that alone is not sufficient. The devil has knowledge and belief in God. That provides no consolation for him. The Bible declares that even the devil believeth there is one God, James 2:19, that thou doest well, they also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? The identity of God is a major issue throughout the Bible, from Moses to Jacob to Peter to Mary to Paul. Who art thou? That Paul would say on the road to Damascus. Mary would suppose him to be the gardener. Peter would declare he was the Son of God. Jacob would wrestle all night just to find out the name of God. And Moses would inquire, who shall I say has sent me? The identity of God is the most vital question that you can possibly answer. Steve Jobs, one of the richest people in America, one of the most successful people in America in his youth, traveled the world looking for the identity of God. When he died at 56 years of age as the co-founder of Apple, unbelievably rich, unbelievably influential, spent the last hours and days of his life talking about the futility of fame and wealth and world accomplishment, and it had absolutely no meaning to him. The entire Bible is written with one primary objective, and that is man's relationship with God. It is irrevocably establishes that relationship is obtained only by a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not enough to believe there is a higher power, or to confess that the power be with you, or there is a God somewhere, or there is a divine architect. God demands that we become a personal friend of his, and he will not have our friendship as he finds us, but demands that we be changed, transformed, and born again. Jesus tells us that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7:21, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, never knew you. Depart from me, that we work iniquity. It's not enough to fall in religion, in love with religion. It's not enough to fall in love with Christianity. It's not enough to fall in love with Living Way Church. You must become an intimate disciple of Jesus Christ to inherit the promised kingdom of God. Philip preaches Jesus to the eunuch when the eunuch doesn't have a clue who God is. When he reads in the book of Isaiah about a lamb to the slaughter, God causes Philip to join his chariot in that barren desert. He hitchhikes a ride, and he said, tell me, do you know what you're reading? He said, I don't have a clue what I'm reading. He said, are you reading about yourself? You're reading about somebody? No, you help me. I don't know what I'm reading about. And the Bible said that Philip preached unto him Jesus. The older I get, and the closer I get to the door of eternity, the more I am convinced and consumed with one thing, and that is that I know the identity of God. I not only know him, but I have developed a relationship with him that will defy death, hell, and the grave. I have such a relationship, and many of you sitting in this building and watching tonight online have that, but somebody might not have that relationship. They think that the association with a religion or a church can somehow replace that personal relationship with Christ, but it cannot. It cannot. Jesus said to the rich man, the religious man, you must be born again. And that's what God says to us today. Saul had a desire to know God. He was a highly religious man when he was struck down on the Damascus Road. His first question is, who art thou, Lord? And God's answer is, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. That is the answer that he always gives back to us. That same Saul that turned into Paul, that was hopelessly entangled in the religious legalism of Judaism, would write to the Corinthian church in his second letter to them and said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. It's not nearly as difficult as people make it. It's not about dotting I's and crossing T's. It's about coming to Christ in honesty and sincerity and believing what the Word of God says, pouring your heart out to him and say, God, change me. I don't want to be like I am. I want to be like you want me to be. It's called repentance. It's called transformation. And I know that the church today has made the church a college classroom, and it's all about scholarship and analytical study of theological terms, but that's not the truth. We can't complicate the simplicity that is in Christ, that all the world lieth in wickedness, but Christ died for the world. He conquered death, hell, and the grave, came up as a champion, and said, follow me. And now if you choose to do something exceptional to that, my friend, you will never embrace the kingdom of God. But I am convinced that the simplicity of my faith is my eternal life. I believe that Jesus Christ is everything the Bible said that he is. And I believe that I have a relationship with him that is irrevocable, unchangeable, unalterable. The devil can't do anything about it. Man can't stop it. Academics cannot dissuade it. It is a reality that I am in Christ and Christ is in me. I have been born again, washed in his blood, filled with his Holy Spirit. He walks with me. He talks with me every day. Praise God. My bank account has absolutely nothing to do with my reality of salvation. My intellect is not the persuasion that I am saved, but it is the fact that I know Jesus, and I have felt the infusion of his Spirit, and every day I can be called silly and foolish by the world, and I don't care, because praise God, I believe that Jesus is my Lord and my Savior, praise God, and I worship him and glorify him and live for none other. I want to assure you today that the Bible declares, and I conclude, that Jesus and Jesus alone is the door. What does that mean? He is the only opening to the kingdom of God. He is the only way to heaven. Somebody said, why do you worship the Lord so foolishly? Because there is none other. He is worthy of my praise. He is worthy of my excess. The alabaster box of my heart must be broken. And while those that would call themselves disciples would discredit my zealous and my excess, I say, I don't care. I've come to worship him because he alone holds my future. When everybody else is saddened and the doctors say we've done all that we can do, Christ will step in, praise God. And so why would I worship a system that can't save me? Why would I worship a system that cannot hold me when I can worship the creator of the universe and the one that identifies himself as the door? Jesus would say in John chapter 10, verse 7, verily I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep, and all that came before me are thieves and robbers. So much for those people that get on late night talk shows and say there are many ways to heaven. Jesus said, all that come before me are thieves and robbers. I alone am the door. I believe that. Do you have to be that fanatical? Yes, you do. You have to be a fanatic to be saved. You have to believe that Christ is the only way, that he excludes every other way. Jesus said, I am the door, and I believe that. I believe he's the only way. I don't believe there's any other way to get to heaven except through Jesus Christ. He's the only one that died for my sins. He's the only one that conquered death. He's the only one that laughed at hell. He's the only one that has all power. He's the only one that declares, I am the resurrection. And my friend, I am totally sold out, fanatically embracing Jesus Christ as the only door there is to heaven. And so when we come into this house and some millionaire sits in the back deciding whether he's going to join this church or the church across town, and somebody gets so ecstatic that they can't keep themselves because they have discovered that Jesus is the door, and they want to shout and cry and run up and down the aisle, and the millionaire takes his checkbook and said, too much for me, I will let that happen. Because I believe there's things greater than money. I believe there's things greater than influence. And I believe the greatest revelation that you can have in life is to find the door in the long wall that most people never find. And we have found that door. That makes us unique. That makes us a called out generation. That makes us a peculiar people. And if you think people that have found the door while others are still searching are going to be normal, you have come to a pitiful conclusion, because we're going to be a different people. We're going to be more joyous. We're going to be more ecstatic. We're going to be happier. We're going to be more emotional. We have found the door, praise God, while other people are still groping like a drunk man at the door of his home. They just can't find the way. But we have found the door. Jesus said, I am the door. I believe that. I believe that. Praise God. It keeps my heart from being troubled. Fox News and CNN will send you to an early grave if you sit in front of them and let you stress out and trouble your heart. But friend, if you'll stick your nose in the black back book and come off of the good news of the gospel, you can live with joy in a world that is sad. You can have love in a world that is filled with hatred. You can dance and sing in a world that wants to bare their head and say, it's too miserable for me to exist. You can say, thank God, John 10:10, the thief has no power over me, but Jesus Christ has given me life, and it more abundantly. Can you give God some praise in this house tonight? So Jesus not only declared that he is the door. In John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. How can it get more inclusive than that? The way, the truth, and the life. The way gets you there, the truth sets you free, and the life is the emotion that keeps you going. And Jesus said, I'm all of that. I find in him everything I need. I need no exterior support. All of my hope is in him. He's the door. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. Not only that, in John 14:2, the very next verse from my text, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. I am convinced that Jesus Christ is working on my place. What he called a mansion in heaven. What he described as something that my eye could not imagine, my heart could not conceive. God is preparing a place for me. Woe be to the people that have cancer in their body and they're 78 years of age and the loved ones gather around and they're simply not sure that they have a place. It has been my misfortune to stand at the bedside of a 70-some-year-old dying Methodist deacon and him up, look up with his tears in his eyes and grasp my hand and say, Pastor, I'm fearful, because he said, I've been a deacon in the Methodist church for over 40 years and I've never met Jesus. I simply don't know him. Friend, let me tell you about Jesus. I met him when I was a little boy in an old-fashioned camp meeting. I walked with him from day to day to little churches where my mother and daddy took me. I received his spirit in a church in Mooresville, Indiana. He's never left me nor forsaken me. Praise God. He has been with me through thick and thin, through triumph and turmoil. He has been there. He is that friend that sticketh close to thine brother. He's in this house right now, and some of you sit there depressed because you've got your affections set on the wrong thing. Set not your affections on the things of this world, but set your affections on the things of heaven. Praise God. It'll take the trouble out of your heart. You'll find joy in place of despair. You'll get up every morning and say, thank God I'm alive. Thank God I can go to church tonight. Thank God I can praise God. Thank God I not only know who He is, because I know who He is, I know who I am. Can you give God some praise in this house? So I believe Jesus is His exclamation that He is the door, and that He is the way, and He is the truth, and He is the life, and He is the preparer of my mansion. Not only that, I believe He is that He is the image of the invisible God. Did you know the Bible said in Colossians 1:15? Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Do you understand that the Bible said that God is a spirit? But praise God, Jesus Christ is that epiphany. He is that embodiment. He is that incarnation. He is the body in which the Godhead dwelleth. Hallelujah. And when you know Jesus, you know all there is to know about God. You know He was the Alpha, which is the beginning. You know that He is the Omega, which is the end. And He's everything in between. That's the Jesus that I serve. And people are troubled today in their hearts because of the anarchy in America and the terror in all of the foreign countries. But praise God, you can find your rest in the Lord. You can find your peace and contentment in Him. Godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible declares. And you need to be content in this world that God is still in charge, that Jesus is still on the throne, that He knows your name, praise God. He has inscribed it in the palm of His hand. And you are the apple of His eye, and He will let nothing to beset you that will destroy you, but He will protect you from all enemies, spiritual and foreign. Thank God, that's the Jesus that we serve. And you need to get up every morning singing, I know that Jesus is the door. I know Jesus is the way. I know Jesus is the truth. I know He's the resurrection. I know He's the provider. I know that He is the image of the invisible God, and I know Him personally. Don't make the mistake. There's the word supposing is used only 2 times in the New Testament, and it's used terribly both times. Number one, it said supposing He was in their company, talking about His own mother. People that suppose Christ is with them when He's not make the greatest mistake in the world. Friend, do you know that Jesus Christ is with you? If your life has no fruit of Christ, then He's not with you. You're on your own. If you like to party and drink and carouse of all of your friends or people that are profane, if you like to miss God's house and just come occasionally, then friend, I can tell you, Christ is not with you. If you don't love His people, you don't love His presence, you don't love His house, then He's not with you. Don't ever make that supposition, supposing He is in our company. And the second time the word is used, when Mary was in the garden, and Christ was dead, and she did not understand the ramifications of the resurrection, and saw Christ, even though she had walked with Him for years. She did not recognize Him. She supposed Him to be the gardener. Don't make that mistake. He's not a gardener. The Bible teaches us that He is the creator of the universe. Not many people understand that Christ is the creator. Colossians 1:11 says, for Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. That's the Jesus I know. I've got a friend that is a personal friend with Bill Clinton. You say, that's not a big deal. Well, it is when you need something. He passes a church. There was a levee close to their church where he wanted to put a parking lot. He hired a contractor to get rid of the levee. And they said, nobody touches the levees in Louisiana. You can't put a parking lot. President Clinton was still in office. He made one phone call. The next day, the bulldozer removed the levee. That's just knowing the president. I don't know Mr. Clinton. I don't know Mr. Trump. I've met him. I didn't know Ronald Reagan. I met him. I never had the opportunity to meet Mr. Obama. But even if I did, and I had some kind of a connection and their personal phone number, it would not compare to the power that I've got with Christ, because He is the creator of the universe. And praise God, He is my creator. He is my redeemer. He is my friend. I'm in constant communication with Him. And I'm not going to let the world in any way assuage my relationship with Jesus Christ. It means more to me than all the influence of the world, all the wealth of this world. Because, ladies and gentlemen, I can tell you that life can be good, but it can't be long. It has passed so quickly for me. I can't believe that I'm now coming down to the last several years of my life. Just yesterday, I was a teenage boy. And so I have no confidence in this world. My confidence is in Christ Jesus, that said He went to prepare for me not just a home of longevity, but a home of eternity. I'm going to live with Him forever. He is the creator of the universe. Praise God. Not only that, the Bible declares that Jesus is my advocate. I cannot live a perfect life. I've met people that have. They've told me so. But I simply cannot do it. I fail to do not only what God wants, I fail to do what I want to do. I'm disappointed with myself. But friend, just because you fail God and yourself does not mean that you throw in the towel. For the Bible declares this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. Don't sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Praise God, He is my advocate. I'm amazed when guilty men go free in the court system of America. It's almost a proven fact. If you've got enough money, you can get away with murder. There are some attorneys in this country that are amazing at twisting the law and convincing the jury system until guilty men walk free. I don't think that's right. But the devil don't think it's right that I'm free either, because he knew I was guilty. But praise God, I have an advocate, and His name is Jesus. And He is the one that Perry Mason and Johnny Cochran and every attorney that was worth his salt took their lead from, because He's the counselor of all counselors, the advocate of all advocates. When I came to Him, praise God, and gave Him my life, He said, I will represent you to everybody. I will represent you to the devil and say you can't have him. I will represent you to the Father and say he is innocent. And that's what He spent my life doing. For my lifetime, since I was a 10-year-old boy, Jesus Christ, my attorney, has been getting me out of scrapes. Oh, what a lawyer he is. What a defender of those that will cast all of their sins and problems on him. That's the reason why I love him. You simply can't say enough about him. You can't write enough good songs to please me about Jesus Christ. Sing of his glory. Testify of his majestic power. Talk about his authority. Emancipation, it is what set me free. He set me free. He whom the Son has set free is free indeed. That's the Jesus that I serve tonight. And so the only kind of church that I want to be a part of is a house full of fanatics. Not of people that nod their head at Jehovah and hope that's good enough to get them in, because I simply don't believe it. I believe that you've got to be sold out to Jesus. I believe you've got to make him your Lord. I believe you've got to make him your Savior. I believe you've got to make him your King. I believe you've got to make him your friend. I want this to be a house full of fanatics. People that realize that there is nobody but Jesus. He is the only one. It can save our souls. But praise God, he loved us so much that he died for us. Christ is our Redeemer. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And Paul would continue and say, Christ has redeemed us. Do you know what it means to be redeemed? All of your sins have been paid for. You have been redeemed. Even if the devil drags it up, it doesn't matter, because that sin has been paid for. You have been paid for by Jesus Christ. Why wouldn't we shout? Why wouldn't we sing? Why wouldn't we clap our hands? Somebody said, oh, I can't go to church every week. I just go on Christmas and Easter. That's enough. Friend, you don't understand the price that Christ paid for you. If you were going to die on the gallows or in the death halls of Texas tonight. I saw somebody just appeal their case, and again, the Supreme Court of Texas turned it down. They're going to kill them. They're not good on appeals in Texas on the death penalty. But if you were on death row and somebody said, I can get you out, but all you got to do is come and see me on Wednesday and Sunday and have a little conversation we have a day, you'd go for it just like that. Well, that's exactly what happened to me. I was not on the death watch of Texas. I was on the death watch of eternity, going to hell. But Jesus Christ stepped in. He bought my soul when nobody else wanted me. And now you think it's extreme for me to come on a Wednesday night? You think it's extreme for me to come on a Sunday? You think it's extreme for me to pray every day? You think it's extreme for me to oppose the systems of this world? Friend, you don't understand the bargain. I got the bargain of the ages. He redeemed me. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can do nothing but to praise him, and he's in this house right now. Friend, I cannot stress to you how great the Lord is. He is my Savior, my mighty God, my pillar that I stand on, lean on. Thank God. Jesus Christ is the very institution of life for me. I find in him my joy. I find in him my reason for going on. Jesus is my all in all. I know there's a lot of people that want to diminish his power and his authority. But John 8 and 24, Jesus made it just as clear as he possibly could. I said, therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins. If you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Jesus is he. He's the only one. Nobody else, just he. He died in my place. He took my sins. So if I clap, if I dance, if I preach, if I declare that he is the only one, you say he is fanatical, guilty as charged. Jesus is he. And because of that, I've been jerked out of my sins, adorned with the robe of righteousness. I am known in heaven as one of the redeemed. All the angels know me by name. So how come I can't act foolish about that? I see people acting foolish for so many reasons. When they win the Masters in Atlanta, Georgia, or in Augusta, Georgia, when they win a Super Bowl, when they win a basketball game, when they win a lottery, people just go crazy. But I am to be condemned because I rejoice in the God of my salvation. I simply don't care. I can't get too foolish in my faith. He is always with me. He not only is going to take care of me, he's already taken care of me. My sins are already blotted out, already washed away. He did wake me up this morning. He did start me on my way. He did give me my bread today. He did give me my water today. He did give me joy today. He gave me every reason to live today. And so I want to act like a fool for him. I want them to say, as they said about Paul, much learning has made thee mad. I promise you, if you learn what I've learned about Christ, you will absolutely be branded by the agnostic, the heretic, and the secularist. And they'll say, what's wrong with him? He's just too strange to observe. Oh, friend, Jesus Christ is in this room right now. As your faith is, so be it unto you. I refuse to have a heart that is troubled by what's going on in this world. Some of you hang on to every scandal. You look at every political storm, and it just got you so weighed down you don't know whether you can get up in the morning. It doesn't matter. This world is not my home. My citizenship is not here. I'm a citizen of another country. I'm just passing through. I'm on my way. Won't be here much longer. Praise God. I see the captain of my salvation on yon shore, and he beckons me to keep coming. I'm not going to stop here. I'm not going to spend my time worshiping money at the bank or worshiping fashion in Hollywood. I put my eyes on Jesus Christ. I can't be stopped. I've thrown off every weight and sin that has been set me. I see set before me a reward, a crown of righteousness, and it's all because of one man. His name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And whether you can see it or not, I can tell you, he walks these aisles tonight. He looks for somebody to reach out and embrace him. He looks for somebody to cry out his name in ecstasy. Jesus, you're my Savior. You're my door. You're my truth. You're my resurrection. You have redeemed me, praise God. I can't say enough good about you. I can't come to your house often enough. I can't pray long enough. I can't worship great enough. I can't sing to the greatest degree. Oh, Jesus, I'm crazy about you. Hallelujah. Can you worship Jesus Christ and none other in this building? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus is the great I am. The Bible said in Exodus 3:13, and Moses said to God when God told him that he was going to be the deliverer of Israel, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and I stand before that 2 million man army, who shall I say sent me? Who can I tell them that will have influence? And he said, simply say to them, I am that I am. Praise God. I'm going to tell you, he is still the I am. He is the healer, the savior, the baptizer, the waymaker, the provider. Red seas are not a problem. Fiery furnaces are no obstacle. Lions' dens can't stop him, praise God. He is the God that is I am. I am tonight what I always was. God's power is not diminished. He's the same healer he always was. If he can heal the sick, he can do it today. If he raise the dead, he can do it today. He says, I am, I am, I am, I am. And so you find Jesus talking to them at the well. And they said, wait just a minute. He said, let me tell you this. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day when she wanted to compare Christianity with Judaism. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And the Jews said, thou art not yet 50 years of age. And you claim that you have seen Abraham. He said, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but let not your heart be troubled, because the I am of the Old Testament is the I am of the New Testament, and he is the I am of the 21st century, and he is the I am of the Living Way Church, and he is the I am of your spirit. He is able. Can you stand on your feet and reach to heaven and give him a praise right now? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My heart is not troubled, because Revelation 19:16 sums up the Bible this way. For he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Presidents come and go. Kingdoms rise and fall. Kings are established in the Middle East, but we can't pronounce or remember their names. But Jesus Christ is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I can have a private audience with him anytime I need it. Praise God. When I go to the doctor and I don't get a good report, I go to the King of Kings and rewrite the report. Whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He said, I live and not die. He said, I'm in divine health. He said, greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. There is a result of believing what I believe. You know, we spent days and years in the Pentecostal churches that I was raised, seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is not even a biblical premise. Because Jesus said in John 7, chapter 7, verse 38, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given. You don't have to clamor at the altar. You don't have to pray endlessly and ceaselessly to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Just begin to think on him. Close your eyes to the world. See him in his majesty. Be like Isaiah. I saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. See him as he enshrouds you with his mercy and his glorious righteousness. See him as he breaks the bread of life, where you'll never be hungry again. See him as he is the springing up well of life. See him as the soon coming king. See him as the divine architect of earth and heaven. See him as the preparer of your mansion. Just begin to see him and then begin to thank him for what he has done. Friend, if somebody gives me a gift, I am profuse in my gratitude. Thank you very much. And the more expensive it is, and the more it costs, the more profuse I am. Friend, I want to tell you, it cost him a lot to give me what he's given me. It cost him a life of humiliation and a death in Golgotha's garden and upon Golgotha's hill. It cost him his life. It was expensive. And when I see what he went through for me, all I can say is thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty God. And when I believe on him, not as religion says he is, not as the nominal church says he is, but as the scripture has said, something begins to happen inside of me. It begins to bubble up inside of me. It's not something I chase after. It is spontaneous combustion within you. If you believe on him, the Holy Spirit will come out of sight of you. It'll flow out. You'll finally say, I don't have enough English words to praise him. I don't have enough Spanish words. If you're bilingual, I just don't have enough language. And suddenly God will give you a language you never learned in school, and you will exhaust every adverb and every adjective. You'll say he's altogether lovely. He's wonderful. He's mighty. He's majestic. He's glorious. He is powerfully omnipotent and omniscient. He is the first and the last. He is the rose of Sharon and the mighty God. And when you begin to praise God like that, hell can't stop you from being infused with the power of Almighty God. He's in this room right now. And if somebody would lose their ways in praise tonight, cancer would leave your body. Leukemia would leave your blood. Tuberculosis would leave your lungs. Glaucoma would leave your eyes. Praise God. I'm telling you that Jesus is the author and the finisher and ever-present help. He's in this room right now. He's in this room right now. Somebody will praise their way out of the sickness. Somebody will praise their way out of poverty. Somebody will praise their way out of depression. Somebody will praise their way out of a divorce, because Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can you lift your hand? Jesus, Jesus. Christians that condemn emotionalism in church and embrace it in sports are far afield from what God expects. If you've got a football star, a quarterback you love, you can't wait to see him, and you cheer when he makes the pass and wins a game, but you have not a praise for Jesus, you got a serious problem. If you can get so excited about your grandkids in their first performance in school that you just get so teary, but you've never shed a tear in God's presence, there's something wrong. Friend, Jesus Christ needs to be the apex of your emotion. He's worthy of your tears, and he is worthy of your cheers. You ought to be able to cry in his presence because of what he's done. But you ought to be able to cheer because of what he's doing. Oh, what he's doing. Look what the Lord has done. I ain't what I used to be. He picked me up, started me on my way, got me out of the miry clay, changed me. There are hookers sitting all over this building that don't practice anymore because Jesus changed them. There are drug addicts here that don't get high anymore because Jesus changed them. Oh, friend, we are living miracles. And how can we be praiseless? We need to make this place roar every time we walk through the doors. It ought to roar. It ought to roar. Look what the Lord has done. I am a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'm not going to hell. There is a mansion being built right now for me. I got to praise him while I got a chance. I'm going to give him a clap. I'm going to give him a praise. I'm going to give him a shout. I'm going to give him a song. I'm going to give him faithfulness. I love Jesus. And this started out so calm. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. I believe in you, Jesus. I believe in you with everything that's in me. Oh, I feel the Holy Spirit. Somebody in this building right now that is facing the most difficult time of your life could just step out of the pew ever so gently, lift your hands and start that little trek down the 75 feet to this altar and praise God. Before you get home tonight, your life could be changed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah! There ought to be more coming just like that. There's more than one person here that's got a dilemma they can't face, got a family that they can't fix, got a problem they can't solve. If you've got a need in your life, I challenge you to come down here tonight and just say, Jesus, I'm not going to let my heart be troubled. I'm going to believe in you because I know that you are who the Bible says you are. I'm through. Pastor Becky, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Oh, we'll see.